Could we stand for the reading of the Gospel according to Saint Matthew? And it's the 25th chapter from which we will be reading. And Jesus went this way. Excuse me, we'll just wait for a bit here. Thank you. Jesus told this story. Now, keep in mind, it was toward the end of his ministry, and it's kind of his version of, here's what you got to know if you're going to do what I have told you to do. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left. Don't take that too literally today, either for despair or arrogance. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And we'll stop the reading at that point. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and Mark will take us forward here. Thank you. Can I put this right there?
Am I on? Okay, good. Yeah, Pastor Paul, my vocal cords have become numb and I can't speak.
Okay.
That was kind of from the other skit. But
it's poisonous gas, I know.
It just, when you have like an hour and a half drive before you come over and speak to a church, all kinds of things go through your head. That wasn't one of them, but that one just popped up the last couple minutes. But before I begin, I always get a haircut before I go and talk to churches on my, I have a 1 week itinerary in Virginia, and then here I'm on my Iowa. This is my first Sunday. And I always go in and get a haircut. And I went in, and my barber said, how would you like it cut? And I said, I'm going to Iowa. And he said, I'll cut it short. And because of the wind. Yeah, the wind, you know, because my, you know, there's not much there. And But, yeah. So anyway, I want to thank you very much for the privilege of being here today and bringing the message to you of hope. And there is some hope in this world. And there is joy in this world. And I can see it in the congregation today. I love it when a group is laughing and smiling. It makes my just being here a lot easier. And, you know, I also want to thank you. You know, you've been supporting me financially. I know you've been praying for our project, and I know you've sent a mission team, and hopefully 2018, my last summer with Project Crossroads, I'll be retiring that summer, you'll have a team, and that'll be awesome. So I want to kind of start out. I guess it was 4 years ago I was here. I want to go over quickly some changes with Project Crossroads. And some of them you might be aware of, and some of them you're not. As Paul said, Harry went and got his PA degree, and he loves being you're almost a doctor. There's some things you can't do, but he loves doing that. And he's still our director, and we work off his construction licenses. But it's really opened up Project Crossroads into the community even more. There's folks that we've worked on their homes. They've got medical issues. They trust Harry. They will come in to the clinic to have Harry treat them. So it's really opened up our ministries. The community garden, I know that some of you worked at the community garden. Well, that was Linda's baby, and it just, it's called Sprouting Hope. It really did sprout hope. And when Linda left, we were hoping it would continue because Harry and I just didn't have time to do the garden. We gave them some seed money. They got themselves a director and some money through grants, and they are booming. We've put two hoop houses in, and they've planted berry bushes, and things are going, you know, great guns, lots of volunteers. We still supply those to them. Speaking of Linda, she was pastoring a church in Bristol, but she's now the director of Jubilee Project, and it's 2 hours and 15 minutes away, so it's a little farther than she was before. But what is that comment about distance makes the heart fonder or something? I can't remember what it was, but I'm just as much in love with her as I ever have been, and I just look forward to the weekends that I see Linda, and we were down in Atlanta at the aquarium a couple weeks ago with the grandkids. So she's doing great, and this project is perfect for Linda. There are women ministries, youth ministries, some construction ministries, and they put in 5 wells per summer. 5% of Hancock County, where Linda is serving, they don't even have water in the house yet. So, you know, it's the second poorest county in Tennessee and the 27th poorest in the nation. So Project Crossroads has some needs, but so does Jubilee. So just keep Linda in your prayers these weeks. And the last thing that's really taken off, well, it's, I don't know if that would be the right word, but any of you folks ever heard of RAM clinics, Rural Area Medical? I think it's mainly in our part of the country, but basically equipment is flown in to an area. We're going to have equipment flown into our airport, our tiny little Smith County airport. Services are going to be provided for the uninsured, underinsured, and those who cannot afford to pay. This is provided by doctors, dentists, optometrists, and other trained health professionals. So we figure there'll be 50 dentists there. That's the biggest need. You know, you can get health care one way or another, but dentists are hard to come by, especially in our area. So that's really exciting. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I'm going to be doing something. We're going to have about 700 volunteers, and over 1,000 people will probably be there, maybe 1,500. And this is not exactly Project Crossroads, but it's something that Harry, you know, being in the medical thing, has taken on one of the lead positions on. So it's just awesome. We're looking forward to it. And that is the end of April, like the 29th, 30th, and May 1st. So keep us in prayer on that because it's going to be crazy. So I've been with Project Crossroads about 10 summers now. This is my 10th summer. But I can still remember the day that I first decided that I wanted to go a different direction in life. It was one of those God moments that I had over 10 years ago. Things started tugging at my heart during my first 2 mission trips when I went to the Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Not long after those 2 mission trips, my wife was appointed pastor at the Mechanicsville-Morley United Methodist Churches. And while attending an outreach committee meeting, which you probably, they still have outreach committees, they name that, a monthly meeting, we decided we were going to put Matthew 25, 31 through 40 on butcher paper around the sanctuary so people would read it, you know, and see what it has to say. And I did all the writing, different colored markers, and I really had a chance to think about what I was writing. I really had a chance to take it all in and ask myself, where do I fit in? Is Jesus asking me to do more? Does this mean pursuing something outside my comfort zone? I was driving a propane truck, which was awesome at times, and there are times it wasn't awesome, but something was telling me I needed to change. And then I thought, what would Linda think? I can't say I remember that conversation, but I knew that it probably went something like this when I approached Linda. What about becoming missionaries together, Linda said. You know, like serving as a couple serving together. I wanted to be a missionary since high school. God knew Linda's heart, but he also knew that mine needed a little work, about 30 years worth of work. But God knew that I was finally ready to follow. At Project Crossroads, the people we serve are the elderly, the disabled, and those folks below the poverty line. People qualify by owning their own homes or trailers and meeting the income guide set by the state in our area. We work on many mobile homes stuck up some steep holler side of a mountain. This can make for some exciting work sites. Yours was on flat ground, though. You must have known the guy that set that up. Okay, so I'm going to read from John 13, verses 1 through 17. But while I'm reading it, think about the loving heart that Jesus had to be inside of Jesus and how he loved people and had compassion for them, for their weaknesses, and for the circumstances they found themselves in life. I want you to think about the things that Jesus was thinking about the way that he looked at the world, about the wisdom and the truths that he just knew. Then think about the act itself, how no words could have conveyed it. No words could have even conveyed it, but his hands and feet had to do it. There was no other way. He had to model what being a true servant was like, what it meant, because otherwise I don't think we would have ever gotten it. This Bible has some very small writing. I rescued this off the floor of our basement. It was soaked with water, and I actually brought it back to life. Okay, in John 13, verses 1 through 17, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he did not, and that's why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than the master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's hard to imagine that we could have a heart like Jesus, isn't it? A heart so full of pure love. But we have within ourselves the capacity to answer his call to follow, to love and to have compassion like he does. But we have to pay attention and learn to reach out. God offers his opportunities daily to tap into that love by placing people in our lives who need our love. And if we are to have a servant's heart, we are called to respond to all the people that he brings, not just the ones we would like to help. We respond regardless of who needs help, whether or not it fits into our schedule. I know that I struggle with both of these at times. When a need is on paper or viewed from a distance, it's easy to question or look the other way. A need changes dramatically when you're with someone, standing in their home face to face, hearing the statement, "If only you could help me, it would be wonderful." This causes things to start stirring in your heart. You start feeling their frustration and their pain and their hopelessness. About four summers ago, and I really, I've used this example before. So I'm going to say 6 summers ago, we had a mission team come in, and they had worked for somebody the previous summer, and they asked to work there again. Okay, and that was very unusual because we always assign the work sites. You know, churches are calling ahead of time. Well, we don't know yet. We'll see how things pan out. But they wanted to work at Glennis's house. They had bonded with Glennis last year. He was a double amputee and noticed that two of the floors in his house needed to be raised about 2 or 3 inches for him to move through the house easier in his wheelchair. I mean, I can't imagine how he did this. I'm sure he had to get out and... But the ladies, there were 6 ladies in this team, and they really had compassion for Glennis and wanted to do something for him. Now, even though none of the ladies had constructed a floor like this before, their hearts told them that they had to try. So after some instruction from our staff, and 4 days later, they had finished this floor for Glennis. And besides receiving a new floor from the ladies, Glennis was given daily hugs by what he called my little angels throughout the work week. Glennis had a good time. He really enjoyed it. So the ladies. 4 days after we had finished the work site, Harry and I and a couple of the interns drove by to pick up debris from the work site at Glennis's house. And I went to the door and knocked, and Glennis didn't answer, and the neighbor came over, noticed us in the driveway, and he wanted to know what we, you know, what we wanted. Are you trying to get a hold of Glennis? Said yes, and said Glennis died of a heart attack yesterday. And I can still remember my emotions from going from extreme sadness to what just happened last week, what really took place last week. Glennis spent his last living days with his little angels. You know, when you think about it, the hair stands up on my neck. I don't have any hair now, but it's okay. The physical work that we do at Project Crossroads or any mission site is never as important as the missionary's relationship with the family that they serve. Glennis was blessed with God's love through his little angels that week. But how powerful of a week was it for the ladies on the flooring crew when I called them the next week? You know, I spoke to them, but I can't imagine what was going through their minds that week talking to their church. At Project Crossroads, we believe God is at work in people's hearts as much as in the physical work that we do. We believe God is active in matching teams to specific work sites. Not all our clients attend church. Our mission teams are a witness to God's love. Some folks have never seen that love in action. And sometimes it's the volunteer that has never seen God's love in action. Brian came to Project Crossroads as a community service volunteer. He was kind of like forced to do it. My first year that I worked with Project Crossroads. Brian used drugs, he dealt drugs, he was caught with drugs, and he was fortunate not to be either dead or in prison. But Brian had housing rehab skills, and his lawyer was on Project Crossroads board. So I got a call, Harry got a call, and then he called me and told me Brian would be doing 100 hours of community service with Project Crossroads. And my immediate response was, God, what have you gotten me into? I guess I'm stepping outside my box. He has a way of doing that. The first day we worked on a trailer for a woman named Sally. Sally had urgent issues that needed addressing. She had no water in her trailer, an unsafe porch, and numerous holes that needed patching. Her water supply was a garden hose that she moved around the house at the appropriate time. Sally told us that she bought her trailer for $300, desperately needing a place to live after finally ending an abusive relationship of 35 years. And I don't think it's that unusual, people buying trailers for $300, but you get what you pay for, believe me. So Brian and I spent the entire day working on Sally's water system, you can imagine. At the end of the day, we sat down and talked with Sally. She told us how wonderful and thankful she now felt now that someone was helping her. She then told us her story. And I'll never forget the ride back home to Marion with Brian. Brian confessed to me that he had tears in his eyes when he heard Sally's story. He said to me that he had never done anything in his life for another person unless there was something in it for him. That his needs were always first, no matter how selfish they were on his part. He also explained to me that he never believed there was a God. It's amazing how a person can change when God's love is revealed through service, through helping people, and through mission. Brian is still an active volunteer with Project Crossroads. He got his first real job last year because he had a felony charge. So it's really hard to get a job, but he knew somebody at a restaurant. He's a great cook, and he's doing fantastic. He still volunteers at Project Crossroads when he has time. And he's also one of my best friends. And which brings me back to remember how I reacted when I heard about his community service. And my comment is we all have a lot to learn. I've had two other community service things, and the second one, Glenn, who was I talking to about Glenn? Up top, he was the same thing. I didn't want to be with Glenn, but I'll tell you what, when you work with Project Crossroads or do mission, you can't help but change. So I want to close with reading something from Roy Lesson. It's called The Heart of a Servant. And it goes like this: in the kingdom of God, we find the highest place is found as we take the lowly place. Strength is found as we discover our weakness. Fullness comes as we empty ourselves. Life is gained as we lay it down for love's sake. Riches are gained as we give them away. Greatness comes as we carry a towel and a wash basin into every circumstance and relationship in life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the servant model of Christ that you put before us, to be able to see the goodness and the beauty of having a heart that truly loves others, to be able to see honor and greatness in humility, to be able to see the power we gain in letting go and giving things to you. Those aren't things that we could ever learn from looking around us in this world. But in your Son, Lord, you are truly glorified. We pray that through our actions, we glorify you too, Lord, and that we can help others to see the truth of your teachings. Lord, this morning I lift up the ministry here at First United Methodist Church, Tipton, and I ask you to bless it and empower these folks to serve you well and share the good news of your grace and salvation in this community. May others come to know you through the witness of their lives. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, with everything that we are. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.